Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for our sermon this morning is our first lesson today from the prophet Micah. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, the prophet Micah was a younger contemporary of Isaiah. They lived about 800 years before Jesus was born. Both of these prophets had a twofold mission. That is, they pointed out to Israel the guilt of their sin of idolatry and called forth God's judgment on that sin. And at the same time, prophesied that total forgiveness and reconciliation with God that they had through the coming Messiah. The prophet Micah, you know, even went so far as to identify the birthplace of that Savior as Bethlehem, Ephrathah, even though it was little among the towns of Judah. The Lord, through the prophet Micah and Isaiah, had reviewed for the people of Israel all the wonderful things that He had done for them. Things that deserved more from Him than He was getting from them. And so, through the prophet Micah, God would lead them to come and see what really did the Lord expect from them. What really were they to offer and bring to the Lord who had done all these good things for them? And those questions, the answer to those questions, leads us to our theme, the only way to approach the Lord, our exalted God. We see, first of all, that it's not with arms loaded down with sacrifices for sin, but with a remembrance of the Lord's deliverance of us, a remembrance which acts. When it comes to the avenues of approach to the Lord, our exalted God, there are two approaches created in different ways. One approach is created in man's natural heart. The other approach is in God's heart and revealed through the Holy Scripture. In the first part of our text in Micah chapter 6, natural man considers his approach. He wonders and questions what it might be that he is able to bring to be able to stand before the Lord, the exalted God. Isn't that the same question that my own natural man, my own sinful nature asks? With what shall I come before the Lord? Those in Israel who listened to their natural man wondered and thought that likely the way to approach God was with their arms being loaded down with sacrifices for sin. What did God really want? He probably wanted lots of burnt offerings. He probably wanted lots and lots of year-old calves. Maybe God would be satisfied with thousands of rivers of oil and thousands of rams. And if God wasn't satisfied with that, maybe He'd be satisfied if we would sacrifice our own children to Him. After all, they had seen the heathen nations surrounding them observe child sacrifice as part of their religion. Natural man thought, what God wants are my outward sacrifices of sin. And you probably get the sense from the way they're thinking that they're thinking as our natural man thinks, boy, God wants an awful lot. God is really asking an awful lot of us in our sacrifices for sin so that we might approach the Lord, the Holy God, the exalted God. My natural man believes wrongly that what the Lord wants are the sacrifices of what I do, of what I bring to Him. What are some of those sacrifices that my natural man wants to load me down with to take to God? Well, my own efforts at keeping the commandments. My own efforts at being a good person. Even though those are not always perfect, even though they're not always exactly as God demands, maybe I could offer to God hours and hours of work around the church. Or maybe I could do all kinds of acts of charity for my neighbor through church or through the United Way or through some other charitable organization. Maybe my sacrifice could be lots of big checks that I could write to the church so that I would look good in the eyes of others and God would then smile upon me for being so generous to His work. God certainly expects a lot, doesn't He? God certainly asks a lot of me, of the things that I have to bring to Him as sacrifices for my sin. He certainly has to accept all my prayers and all my outward sacrifices, wrongly thinks natural man. God has revealed to us the only way to approach the Lord, the exalted God. And it's not with arms loaded down with sacrifices for our own sins. It is rather we approach Him with a remembrance of His deliverance of us. A remembrance that acts. Just before our text, through Micah, the Lord had reminded people of His deliverance. He had delivered them from slavery in Egypt. He had delivered them from false prophets that had tried to call a curse down on Israel while they were in the desert. God had provided them richly and daily the things that they needed that had brought them to the promised land at one time. And soon, when they were carried off into captivity, would stay with them and preserve a remnant for Him. God had treated them and delivered them with divine justice. He had loved them with divine mercy. And He had taught them to humbly walk with Him. And so Micah wrote, "He has showed you, O man, what is good." My sacrifices for sin are no good because they're not good enough and they're not needed because God has already delivered me from my sin by Jesus' sacrifice. That sacrifice once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. It is in that sacrificial blood of Christ with which I am covered through my holy baptism and through the gospel and word and sacrament that I may approach the Lord, the exalted God. He has delivered me from the guilt of my sin. He has delivered me from the result of my sin, death. He has delivered me from the power of my sin, which is the law, because He has completed it for me and then offered His holiness into death on the cross. What does the Lord require of me? What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. That is a remembrance of deliverance that acts. God has been just with me. He has treated me fairly in Christ. On Judgment Day, He will treat me justly. If you believe, you are saved. If you don't believe, you are condemned. That will be God's just verdict that I rely on for my salvation as a believer. And now what does God ask of you? To treat one another with fairness. To treat one another on the basis of the truth of God's Word. To establish justice in your life and in the way that you deal with one another in your relationships. And that justice is combined with mercy. To love mercy. To be compassionate. To feel the hurts of others. Like the Good Samaritan. We heard a few weeks ago that Jesus really is the Good Samaritan to the nth degree, isn't He? He loved mercy and He showed that mercy to you and to me, finding us when we were dead in our sins and giving us new life. It is in that love and compassion for one another, based on that mercy that God has had for us in Christ, that we can approach the Lord, the exalted God. It is in that justice and that mercy that we walk humbly before the Lord. Jesus taught us a lesson about humility this morning, didn't He? In that parable, one of my favorites, and I'm sure one of yours, of the man who arrogantly took the best seat and had to move back when somebody else came. And then how the Lord brought forward those who were the man who was humble. To be humble and walk with God simply means, in the words of the hymn, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling. I approach the Lord with no sacrifices for sin in my own hands, but come through faith bearing only the sacrifice that Jesus made." Humility that walks with God is that broken heart, that contrite heart that God will never despise. In that justice, in that mercy, and in that humility, that acts toward one another, then we may approach the Lord. The approach to God is closed to those who want to come to Him on the basis of our own outward formalism, of our own outward sacrifices, of our own things we do with a loveless and faithless heart, but do only because God commands us to do them. It is the just heart. It is the merciful heart and the humble heart. It is the repentant and believing heart that is the only way to approach the Lord, the exalted God. This is the thought behind our stewardship emphasis that is going to, God willing, take place over the next weeks. The theme for our stewardship emphasis is built on a different text of Scripture that, God willing, we'll hear and think about next week in our sermon. But the thought is present here as well. Stewardship, one aspect of walking humbly with God, is not about outward sacrifices. It's not about formalism in our religion. It is about the heart. And that is why using only God's Word as our motivation and as our guide, we will approach the Lord, the exalted God, with our efforts at growing in our stewardship as His children. As we go about using the Word of God, building devoted hearts for Jesus. Amen.